हरि ओम तत्सत तत्सत
तत्सत
also follow certain things. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha.
Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha.
Asato Vidyate Bhavaha.
Nasato
Vidyate Bhavaha. Na Bhavo Vidyate Sataha. Na Bhavo Vidyate Sataha. उभयोरपि दृष्टोन्तः उभयोरपि दृष्टोन्तः त्वनयोस्तत्त्वदर्शिभिः त्वनयोस्तत्त्वदर्शिभिः वी सॉ लास्ट क्लास क्लियरली द मीनिंग ऑफ दीस द फोर वर्ड्स सत् असत् मिथ्या and tuccham. So sat, we just see the definition, then we'll say what is sat actually. What is the, how do we define the word sat? What is sat? Sat is that which has no beginning, which has no end, which does not undergo any changes. So, which exists always without depending upon something else, which exists by itself. A self-existent, eternal substance is Sat. So, because it does not depend upon anything else for its existence, it is uncaused, it is causeless, it has no cause of its own, it is self-existent. That is Sat. And what is Asat? Asat, I told you, has two meanings. One meaning of Asat is Tuccham, which means Atyanta Abhavaha, which does not exist at all. Tuccham is something which does not exist at all. But asat has another meaning, asat, which means a mithya, and mithya means that which has beginning, that which has an end, therefore that which exists only in the present, and while existing in the present also, that which depends upon something else for its existence is mithya. So mithya is that which is time bound, which has beginning, which has end, which undergoes changes, and it which doesn't have independent existence. So mithya is neither real nor totally a non-existent thing, but which has existence of which is dependent on the existence of sat, that is mithya. Tuccha means that which does not exist at all. So, we have only two things. We say Sat and Asat means Satyam and Mithya. So, here, then what is Sat? Therefore, the whole Jagat, you say, so Sat is the Karanam and Mithya is the Karyam. I want to understand this now. Sat is the Karanam, Mithya is the Karyam. Sat is the cause and Mithya is the effect. When I say mithya is the effect, all the causes and effects are all mithya. The uncaused cause of all the causes is the absolute cause, is the satyam. So, the satyam mithyayaha madhye, okay, satyam mithyayor madhye, no, kirdushaha sambandha. What is the connection between the satyam and mithya? The karana karya sambandha. Satyam is the karanam and mithya is the karyam. Therefore, when you say the whole Jagat is Karyam, when you say Brahman is the Karanam, we just use the word Karanam, okay? Karanam and Karyam. So the Mithya is the manifestation and the Satyam is that, okay, which is manifest as the Jagat is Satyam. This is Satyam and Mithya. When you say the whole Jagat is Mithya, Satyam, no, is Brahman, and that means the reality is the Satyam. Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya, when you say the Satyam, the Sat, Vastu, as the cause, like any cause is the existence of the effect, okay, therefore, here, existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. When we say, like in how existence of water is the existence of ocean, so existence of Brahman is the existence of whole Jagat. In fact, Brahman is the very existence of the whole Jagat. Therefore, the cause becomes the very existence of the entire Prapanchaha. That is Sat, we say. So what is the Sat? When you say the whole Jagat is Mithya, we have to understand this physical body, which is also Mithya. Like anything, any object in the world, external world is Mithya. This also is part of the Jagat. This body also is Mithya. Again, we have to understand one more thing here. When we did Drik, Drishya, Viveka, Prakriya, for your sake, I'm putting it differently, okay? I'm saying differently. When we did the Drik, Drishya, Viveka, Prakriya, and then we saw, you know, how this Prakriya, the method, helps us distinguish the self from the non-self. Drik, Drishya, Viveka, Prakriya, the method of analyzing the subject and the object, that method, in fact, helps us only to distinguish the self from the non-self. That means that through that method we distinguish the knower from the known. Why do we need to distinguish the knower from the known? Because only if we distinguish the knower from the known and we can understand what is the self, the substance of the substantive I, and thereby we can understand that self being the self of everything, thereby we can understand that self, the reality, being the very reality, very existence, Sat, of the entire Jagat. And thereafterwards, first we distinguish the self from the non-self, thereafter, through the other method, other avasthatriya prakriya, the other method of analyzing three self experience, we arrive at what exactly is the knower. Okay, distinguish yourself from the non-self, thereafter understand what the self is by analyzing the three sets of experience. So how do we distinguish this, the knower from the self, from the non-self? By analyzing this, distinguishing the knower from the known. Anything external to the body is not mistaken for the subject, the knower. We are very clear. And what is an object? Anything indicated by the pronoun, any pronoun other this or that or anything, any pronoun other than the pronoun I is an object of knowledge. Anything indicated by any pronoun other than the first person singular pronoun is an object of knowledge. And definitely the knower, the seer, the observer, the subject is different from the known, observed, seen object. Therefore we say this physical body and also is object of knowledge, there is no problem. The knower is different from the known physical body. The knower is different from the known pranas, five physiological functions. Knower is different from the known five sense powers. The knower is different from the five organs of action, powers of organs of action. Knower is different from even the mind, because mind also is an object of knowledge. Okay, mind is the subtlest of the manifestations. You see, now gross manifestation, subtle manifestation, subtler manifestation. Subtlest of the manifestations is the mind, because mind is nothing but the thoughts. We know what is manaha, what is ignorance is known. All different states of mind which constitute the mind are known. Ignorance is known, knowledge is known, jealousy is known, hatred is known, anger is known, desire is known, anxiety is known, restlessness, agitation. All this, no, perception, understanding, memory, even all the notions you have about anything else or about yourself is known, and all anything, you know, any notion is known. Of course, the knowledge that I am, you know you are, that knowledge also is known. Everything is known, therefore the entire mind is known. Mind also is an object of knowledge. So anything known which is negated as an object of knowledge, no, definitely is not the knower, and knower is different from the known. Therefore, mind, see, the knower is not the mind, is very clear. Knower is not any of these things, negated things, is very clear. So distinguish the knower. Why do we distinguish the knower from the known? Because to distinguish the self from the non-self, we have to, distinguishing the knower from the known means distinguishing the self from the non-self. Okay? Only when you distinguish the knower, the self from the known, the objects, okay, then you understand what the knower is. And how then we are allowed to, we see we have three sets of experience. We analyze that to understand, arrive at what exactly is the knower, who the knower is. Then we say we have three states of experience. We don't have fourth set of experience at all. There are only three states of experience. That means there is a waking state experience, a dream experience, and a deep sleep state experience. And we say any experience is possible only if there is an experiencer. Without the experiencer, no experience is possible. Leave the experienced now. Experienced, the existence of experienced or the known is dependent on the experience. Without the experience, there cannot be experienced. And without the experiencer, there cannot be experience. Therefore, existence of the experienced, no, is established by the existence of the experience. And existence of experience is established by the experiencer. Therefore, we need to know who is the experiencer here. And the three states of experience. So, all the experiences, you know, all the different states of experience, I mean, are possible because of the presence and existence of the experiencer. And who is the experiencer? The experiencer in the waking state is the same experiencer in the dream state. As the waker, the experiencer of the waking state is the waker, the same experiencer as the dreamer in dream state. Okay? And the same experiencer is the sleeper, one who is asleep in deep sleep state. There's the same experiencer in deep sleep state also. And all the three states of experience is possible because there's an experiencer as a dreamer, as a sleeper, as the waker. Who is that experiencer? What is that experiencer? Okay? I told you already, we have analyzed what the mind is very well. Okay, the last thought, I told you, the knowledge that I am also is not there in deep sleep state. Okay, no experience is there. Of course, waking state we know very well, you know you are. And in dream state, I told you, in the deep sleep state, mind is totally active. And then the knowledge that I am is there, there's experience. And in dream state, mind is partially active, partially passive. And there the knowledge, okay, nothing is there, but the dream experience is there. Next day morning, you're able to narrate the dream experience because that experience was there. And I said, experience was there in dream state. Without the experience, you cannot narrate the dream. And similarly, the deep sleep state also was experienced. The previous day, previous night, how well you slept, next day morning you're able to express it. That means the experience was there. The knowledge that I am also was not there. No experience was there. And no experience being there was experienced. And next day morning you're able to say that experience. there is an experience of the deep sleep state also is experienced. Okay, there is an experience of deep sleep state. That is why you are able to say how well you slept. That means who is the experiencer? What is the experience? Who is the experiencer? That experiencer who is there in all three states of experience is nothing but the Sat. Nothing but the Sat. Experiencer, the knower, the observer, the subject, okay, is the Sat. All the experiences are mithya. The experienced also is mithya. Experiences are mithya. Experiencer alone is Sat. Okay? Who is the experiencer? And I tell you again, please listen. I'm repeating this. Many a time I would have repeated. And I have to repeat this because a relevant example this is. Because, see, the sunlight is there. And we don't need another light to see whether the sun is there or not. I do not need to go and pick up a torchlight and switch it on to see whether there is sunlight or not. Even to know whether this light is there or not, I don't need another light. Because any light is known as light because it is self-revealing, it is self-luminous. And at the same time, it has the capacity to bring to light other objects. Because illumining, okay, is its nature. And all the opaque objects, because if there is no light, the other objects do not reveal their presence by themselves. They are not self-revealing. They are not luminous. They are not self-revealing. For these objects to be revealed, there must be some other light. They depend on the other light because they have the capacity to reflect the light. They have to reflect light in order to come to light because they are opaque in nature. They are not self-revealing. We need other light to see whether this other opaque object is there or not. Okay? Whereas light doesn't need another light to come to light. It is self-revealing. Therefore, I can say, the light is self-luminous, self-revealing. Okay, it does not depend upon any other light to come to light. That is, it's okay. And all other objects are opaque in nature. They don't come to light by themselves. They depend on the light, other light to come to light. Okay, and because all these things come to light from the standpoint of these objects, I say, the illuminator is the light. Why can't I say light is the illuminator? Who is illuminating all these things? Who is the illuminator here? Okay? Light is the illuminator. But I don't say light is the illuminator, but I say the illuminator is the light. Why can't I say light is the illuminator? Why should I say the illuminator is the light? If I say, because I can say, Rodney G is the writer, Peter is the eater, somebody is the walker, I can say all these things. Why? Because this eating, going, walking, sitting, etc. are all actions, will-involved actions. Whereas illuminating is not an action of the part of the light. You have an action of the light. Okay, what action does the light do in order to bring all these objects to light? It doesn't do any action. Light is every opaque object. All the opaque objects come to light just by its presence. I love that word very much. Sannidhi matrena. Just by its being, just by its presence, okay, all the opaque objects come to light. There's no other thing, okay, no other light because of which all these things come to light because of the existence of the light. Therefore, we can say, because an action, instead of saying light is the illuminator, I say illuminator of all these opaque objects is the light. Why illuminating? Illumination is not an action. It is the swarupam of the nature of the light. Understand? It's there, things come to light. Similarly, the dream experience, the deep sleep state experience, the waking experience, all different states of experience are possible. Okay? Because of the presence, existence of the experiencer. Okay? And that experiencer is the Sat, the subject, the knower, the observer, the experiencer is pure consciousness, Shuddham Chaitanyam. So that's why I say knowing, experiencing, okay, is not an action on the part of consciousness. Now, action of the consciousness, so rupam of the consciousness. So consciousness is the Sat. Consciousness alone is the Sat. Therefore, consciousness is not the knower, but the knower is consciousness. Consciousness is not the experiencer, but there is no other experiencer other than the consciousness. Why do you say experiencer? Because of the presence of who, okay, all these things come to light, is the light. Therefore, the illuminator of all these things is, you know, is called the light, I say. Similarly, consciousness, no, because of the presence of what? The which vastu, dream experience is possible, okay? And then deep sleep experience is possible, the waking experience is possible, okay? Because the presence of which? It's the presence of which all these three states of experience, all the experiences are possible. That vastu is the consciousness. Therefore, experiencer is the consciousness. Consciousness is not the experiencer, but the experiencer is consciousness. Why experiencing is not an action, knowing is not an action, it is the swarupam. That is why knowing happens to be the swarupam of consciousness. Consciousness is the source of experience, source of knowledge. That is why it is implied by the word chit. Understand now why chit? Chit means knowledge, pure knowledge. This is the source, swarupam. Knowing is the swarupam. Pure knowledge, how will you say pure knowledge? That because of the presence of which any knowledge is possible, experience is possible, seeing is possible, that is consciousness. That is why consciousness, the knowing, being the swarupam of consciousness, we say consciousness is indicated by the word chit. Chit means pure knowledge, source of knowledge, knowledge of the knowledge. Understand? Knowledge of the knowledge means any knowledge is possible. Okay? Chit. And consciousness, awareness, knowledge, all we always use chit. Understand? Therefore, but the consciousness is not brought to light by anything else. Understand? Consciousness is self-existent. Consciousness does not depend upon any other light to be known. Understand, consciousness not depend upon, in fact, anything else for its existence. Why? Self-existent, self-revealing. Understand? Therefore, what is this? Chit alone is Sat. Chit is the Sat. The Chit, the consciousness. Is it clear or not? Chit is Sat. Sat is Chit. Everything else other than that is Mithya. I want to understand this. Sat is Chit and Chit is Sat. Is it clear? Then we say Chit, the consciousness, which is of the nature of knowing, is the knower, and knower is Sat. Knower is the Self. Therefore, now we say, what is the, how Sat is, this Chit alone, is Sat means, this Chit is the existence of the whole Jagat. Okay, Jagat is Karyam, and Chit, this Chit, which is understood as the, okay, the consciousness, which is understood as the Swarupam, okay, which is a substance of the I, substantive I here, as the very existence of the mind, as the experiencer of all experiences, is in fact the Sat of the whole Jagat, means Hatha of this body, mind, sense, compass, everything. And everything else is Mithya. Understand? Therefore, how we can say here, see, the whole Jagat is known in five different forms as five different objects, means the Jagat exists. When, how can you say, when can you say Jagat Bhati, Jagat Bhasate, Jagat Asti? When can you say the world exists? Only when it is experienced. Okay, for the world to be experienced, to be known, it is dependent on five different senses. The five existence of the five different senses is the existence of the five different sense objects. The sense organs alone establishes the existence of the sense objects. Who establishes what? Does the sense object establishes the existence of the sense organ, or the sense powers establish the existence of the sense objects? Sense power, existence of the sense powers is the existence of the sense objects, because sense organs alone establish the existence of the sense objects. Isn't it? Then we say, again, the existence of the self, the sense organs establish the existence of the sense objects, means mind, the knowledge of the sense objects, sense organs again establishes the existence of the senses. So now just mind again. So consciousness establishes the existence of the mind. Because mind being there, okay, mind being there in waking state, mind being not there in deep sleep state, all established. How? Therefore we say, so what is Sat now? Okay, that which established the existence of something else becomes the aspect, the cause. That which is established, okay, it becomes the effect. The whole Jagat is effect, therefore its object of knowledge is Mithya. The body is Mithya, the mind is Mithya, senses are Mithya, everything is Mithya, all this Mithya, anything Mithya, has beginning, has an end, undergoes changes, and it exists only in the present. While existing also, it's dependent on Satyam for its existence. It has no independent existence. So in fact, Mithya is as good as non-existent. Why? Because it has no independent existence. If you see where Satya is, in Satyam, you can resolve the Mithya. Mithya has no independent existence. You can never, never, never imagine Mithya independent of Satyam. Okay? So, Satyam, the knower, the seer, the observer, the experiencer, is the Self, the consciousness, which is Chit, which alone is Sat, which does not depend upon the Mithya. But the Mithya Jagat is dependent on Satyam for its existence. So Satya Atma is not the Mithya Jagat, but the Mithya Jagat is nothing but the Satyam. Where is the Jagat sitting separately apart from Satyam? Understand? Mithya Jagat is nothing but the Satya Atma. Jagat is Sat Atma. Mithya Jagat is Sadatma, but Satatma is not the Mithya Jagat. All that is, there is only Satyam. Mithya is as though. Mithya Jagat is as though. We cannot say Mithya Jagat does not exist at all. We cannot say it is not like a Bandhya Putraha, but it is as though. It is neither real nor unreal. It is as though. This Mithya, but all that is Mithya is nothing but Satyam. You can say all that is there is only Satyam Brahma. Is okay? Therefore, when you say everything is mithya, what about this, the pairs of opposites? Reduce all the pairs of opposites external to the body, okay? As what? Well, reduce them to the mind, the pain and pleasure. What is pain? What is pleasure? Is experienced. Experienced is depend on the experience. Experienced and the experience, both are nothing but the manifestation of the experiencer, the satyam. Okay, all mithya. Okay, so satyam, the way which is dependent on the water for its existence, cannot do any harm to the water. Its existence itself is in the water. Therefore, how can the mithya, this mithya jagat, mithya sukham, mithya dukkham, mithya, all these things, what harm can they do to the satya atma? No, depending on which way its very existence is there. And satya atma itself cannot do any harm to itself, nor can mithya do any harm to satya atma, because mithya is dependent on satyam for its existence. Satyam cannot do any harm to mithya also, because satyam is nothing but satyam is manifest as the mithya. How can it do any harm to the mithya? This is the truth about satyam and mithya. Is it clear? In fact, the whole external jagat, when I say external jagat, anything external to the physical body which is gross, which is available for sense perception, is nothing, just reduce them to experienced, the known jagat. So reduce this physical body also, it's also known. And all is known. And what about reduce even your own other subtle aspects also to the known? And reduce, come to the mind, everything is what an experience. What is experience? Knowledge. What is knowledge? Observation. Knowledge. Experience. What is it? Just a thought. Where does the thought exist? Not outside of consciousness. No experience, no knowledge. Now I use the word experience better than knowledge, okay? No experience, no knowledge, no observation, nothing exists outside of consciousness. Understand? It is the whole jagat is the known, the experienced, the observed jagat. Reduce them to experience, the thought, and where does the experience exist? No experience exists outside of, independent of the experiencer. Understand? And even as an experiencer, you may think, look at the ER sound, may make you feel sort of, you may cause itching. In fact, really speaking, experiencer is, just before the want of words, we had to use the word, that because of which, the presence of which any experience is possible, that is chit, which is the sat. How that is anantam, we'll see later on, that's a different thing. Is it clear? So we'll see the bhashya now. I think the third class we are doing this verse, it must have become very clear today. Has it become very clear or not?
I mean, I listened to what you said, but the link between the sat and the chit, I didn't see initially how the link was made. I didn't quite see it. I didn't see it.
Is that clear? Right?
Not 100%.
Okay. Wait, listen. We aren't going to finish this verse now. At least you understood why experiencer is chit. That's very clear. But really speaking, the ER I'm using, not as an action. That's why I said consciousness is not the experiencer, but the experiencer is consciousness. I said because experiencing is not the action, it is the swarupam. I said. Is it clear? and therefore no experience exists outside of, independent of consciousness. That's why we say this is the pure knowledge, is chit. And I say that chit is the, in fact, the sat. Okay, the pure consciousness, pure knowledge, because of which any experience is possible, because experiencing, knowing is the sarupam of which is the very sat, when he said, existence of everything is said. Listen now. I don't know many times I've told this, and let me repeat it. I'm happy because I have in front of me Akhilina, so I don't mind. I see him, I can talk again. Because he wasn't there, even Davidji wasn't there, so I can say, Amma wasn't there, so no problem, I can say. See, the problem with this is, the world may exist, world does exist. See, even when I am sleeping, the world exists that we think. The knowledge is there for us. That is why we cannot imagine the world being non-existent. Okay? The world is always there. See, when you say something is, the world is. Okay? Okay. Prakashaha bha, prakashake, suryaha prakashate, vayuhu vati. Okay? Vayuhu vati. Okay, so sugandaha asti. Okay? So all these things, the whole jagat exists for me. The world of objects exists when? Only when it is known. And if an object is, please listen carefully, if an object is not known, not experienced, then that object is as good as non-existent. Why I say as good as non-existent? It is not really non-existent, but is as good as non-existent for the one, okay, who does not know the existence of the object. It is as good as non-existent. Therefore, when does the object has the status of being an existent? Only when it is known. The object needs to be known in order to be existent. It needs to be known. Only then it is existent. Therefore, so the existence of objects, now existence of something is established, okay, so something is dependent on the evidence. It is to be known. Okay, an object should be known not to be an existent. So to be known, it should be evident. For it to be evident, there must be evidence. Therefore, for object to be an existent, to have the status of being an existent, it should be known. To be known, it should become an evident. To be evident, it is dependent on an evidence. Therefore, evidence is as good as the cause, the evident becomes as good as an effect. Okay? Why? Because for a thing to become evident, there must be evidence. Because evidence alone establishes the existence of a given evident thing. For example, light is prakashaha asti, deepaha prakashate, okay, deepaha asti, prakashaha asti, light is, when you say, light is evident. What is the evidence? Light is, my seeing power is the evidence, okay, seeing power is the evidence. Therefore, I say, existence of the light is established by my seeing power. Therefore, my seeing power becomes, my seeing power, the evidence is as good as the cause. Existence of the seeing power is the existence of the seen object. Existence of the heard sound is established by the evidence of hearing power. Therefore, existence of the hearing power is the existence of the heard sound. The fragrance is evident. Oh, I have taken the bulbs to answer, to show it. The fragrance is evident. Okay, what is the evidence which proves the existence of the smell? Fragrance. My smelling power. My power, okay, smelling power. Therefore, existence of this smelling power is existence of the smelt object. Similarly, the taste. See, the taste with the touch. So, existence of the five different objects, the whole jagat is established. How existence of jagat is only in the form of experience of five different objects. You know, sixth object. Therefore, we say all the five different objects, jagat in the form of five different objects, becomes evident. Okay, because of the corresponding evidence. The five sense powers are the evidence. So the five sense, existence of the five sense powers is the existence of the five different sense objects. Therefore, okay, who lends existence, who borrows existence here? The sense objects, no? Or some subjects borrow their existence from the sense powers. Sense objects, in fact, sense organs lend existence to the sense objects, being evidence. Lending is not an action here. Just by being present as evidence, they lend existence to the evident objects. Therefore, is it clear? Therefore, sense objects, we say, are as good as the cause. Okay? And the sense objects are as good as the effect. Now we go one more step further. Okay, the sense objects, sense organs also, okay, the sense powers, the eyes can see, the ears can hear, the nose can smell, the tongue can taste, the skin can feel the warmth and chillness. That means, who is it who establishes? So all the sense powers are also evident. And what is the evidence? The knowledge of sense powers being there, that knowledge is what mind. Understand? The knowledge, I know, I can see, I know, I can hear, I know, I can smell. That means there's a knowledge of sense powers. The thought, okay? Knowledge of the mind. So, mind establishes the evidence, the knowledge of sense powers is the evidence. Understand? Knowledge means, the mind. Mind is the evidence and the sense powers become the evident. From the standpoint of the sense objects, sense organs are the evidence, sense objects are the evident. The standpoint of the mind, mind is the evidence, sense powers become the evident. Therefore, existence of the mind is the existence of the sense objects, sense organs. Therefore, mind is as good as the cause, sense organs are as good as the effect. Then we say, existence of the mind, knowledge is there, who knows? Okay, who establishes the, who? What is the proof? What is the evidence for the knowledge? What is the evidence for the mind being there? Mind becomes, okay, mind is evidence from the standpoint of the sense powers. But what is the evidence which establishes the existence of the mind? Means mind also becomes evident. If mind has, if we say mind is, knowledge of senses is, means it is known. Okay, this evident. Evident to who? What is the evidence there? Who proves the established existence of the mind? Consciousness. How do you say? That is why the mind has three states of experience. Three states of experience Atma doesn't have, okay? Mind has three states of experience. Please be very clear. There are three states of experiences themselves are mind. Any experience is mind. Please understand very clearly. So for want of words, people will always confuse. Who has the experience? Come on, tell me. Who has the experience? There are experiences, that's all. Every experience is mind. Waking said experience is mind, dream experience is mind, deep sleep said experience is mind. The experiences are there, therefore there must be an experiencer. Without the experiencer, no experience is possible. Because next day you are able to narrate the experiences, there is an experiencer. And who is the experiencer? Experiencer don't change, night shift, day shift, no change there. The same experience is there as the waker, the same experience is there as the dreamer, the same experiencer is there as the sleeper. Okay? And all the experiences are because of the what is the evidence? The mind was totally passive. The mind is partially passive, partially active. The mind is totally active. The existence, three states are evident. Who is the evidence? What is the evidence? That evidence is consciousness. Okay? So that, understand now. So anything which is evidence, there's no other evidence for consciousness. Understand? There's no other evidence for consciousness. Consciousness is the self-evident there.
But what is known is what exists, is the sat. That's what's known.
I'm coming to the point.
Yeah.
Wait, let me finish it. Is it clear now?
Mm-hmm.
Is it clear or not?
Okay. Yeah.
Therefore, so for the thing to be evident, it is existent. It's existent only when it is evident, when it is known. For it known, it depends upon the evidence. So existence of the evidence is the existence of the evident. Evidence is the existence of the evident. Therefore, chit. The consciousness is the sat, the existence of the evident mind. Therefore, the existence of the whole jagat is consciousness.
Because sat is that which is self-existent, has no cause, it's uncaused.
Yeah.
And so there's
nothing else which establishes the existence of consciousness. Nothing else can establish the existence of consciousness. That is why we need pramanam. Understand now? Without the pramanam, you can never arrive at the ultimate evidence. To understand consciousness being the evidence for itself, you need pramanam.
Pramanam?
Means of knowledge. Shastra pramanam. Is it okay? Is it still okay? It will be okay. Still, I know it won't be very clear today. We'll have more classes, no problem.
it is clear. Something is known. Everything is known. In the sense that there is a knowledge of something, and
knowing which everything else becomes known. You want to know? That is what is being discussed here.
Yeah.
The knower.
I can understand. I understand the consciousness and manifests as the experience of the three states of deep sleep, dreaming, and waking, and there. An aspect. They're all different dimensions of the experience.
Let me finish this.
Yes. I'm just. Yeah.
Okay. Let me finish this verse, yes. Then we can talk.
Yeah.
In between, then I will get. Like, because the tradition doesn't allow me this. Let me finish this. Because you have to listen regularly, then you'll understand. Is it clear that what is the Pitiji? That
yes,
one?
So
Satya is Chit Chitti, Satya is clear?
Yes.
Okay. It will become clearer, don't worry.
Not clear.
So, na asat, na sataha iti.
Na sataha iti.
See, what we say, this any sukha dukkham, the pairs of opposites, pains and pleasures are mithya. Okay? So mithya cannot cause any, you know, harm, destruction to the Sat Atma. And the Sat also cannot cause any harm to the Mithya. There is no second thing other than the Sat. Mithya is as though, because Sat is nothing but Mithya, understand? Sat is manifest as the Mithya, and Mithya is nothing but the Sat. Sat is not the Mithya, but the Mithya is nothing but Sat. The second thing is not there. So, there means two things for one to be harmed, one to cause harm, really speaking. And they're all there. That means the Mithya means it comes and goes. It appears and disappears. It keeps on changing. So, if you look at these things, why they happen, there's an order involved, that's why anything happens, because there is a cause behind it. In the scheme of cause and effect things, whatever happens is happening because it has to happen, there's a cause behind it. Once you understand it, it's understanding a fact makes us accept the things. So, there's nothing really speaking, we don't need nothing to worry. The worrying and feeling sorry or feeling sad, in fact, implies lack of understanding of the fact. Lack of understanding of the fact makes us really not, because of that, we are not able to accept the fact. Not being able to accept the fact is, in fact, immaturity. Okay? So, one has to become mature by being able to accept the fact by understanding what the fact is. Okay? It's all the knowledge which makes one a mature person. Lack of knowledge, you know, makes one an immature person. That's how Shastam looks at maturity and immaturity in a different way. The beautiful meaning of what Tattvam is given by Shankaracharya later on, we'll see that. Let me finish this now. I have given, explained very well today, I think, one first class, second class and third class. If there's any doubt again, further we'll explain further. I understand what exactly you wanted to say. I definitely listen to you and then I'll give an answer. But if you listen, keep on listening regularly, then systematically all doubts will resolve. If we start answering now itself, and we go somewhere in between, we're confused. Na asataha avidyamanasya shita ushnadehe sakaranasya na vidyate nasti bhavaha bhavanam astita. See, look at Shankaracharya, how many words he gives? Astita, bhavanam, bhavaha. Astita is a new feminine gender word, bhavanam is a neutral gender word, bhavaha is a masculine gender word. All the three words mean existence, being. So being is not there, na vidyate, nasti. Okay, existence is not there. For what? For the shita ushna dehe. Okay, for this heat and cold, pleasure and pain, okay, for all these parts of shita ushna adehe, means shitam and ushnam, heat and cold, stand for all parts of it, opposites. So all these parts of opposites do not have existence, no, independent existence. That is why sakaranasya. Sakarana means they don't have independent existence, they are dependent on a different cause for their existence. They depend on the experiencer. Sakaranasya, therefore they are as well as non-existent. Really speaking, they are mithya. That's the meaning. Avidyamanasya, asataha means Sita Ushna. So he begins his bhashan saying, Sita Ushna Adayaha, all these parts of opposite, such as heat and cold, are all asat, mithya. Okay? For this mithya means they don't have independent existence. So sakaranam, they have a cause. They depend on something else. So for that, they really speaking, they don't have being of their own. They don't have existence of their own. They depend on the cause, experiencer. In fact, they are mithya. That is what is said in the first sentence. What he says, Sita Ushna Dehe Bhavaha Nasti. Why? Because they are asat. Asataha bhavaha nasti. When you say asataha bhavaha nasti, okay, sita ushnadehe bhavaha nasti, that's the meaning. Nahi sita ushnadi, shitoshnadi, sakaranam, pramanaihi, nirupyamanam, vastu, satbhavati. So what he says, na satbhavati means what? The shitoshnadi means all these pairs of opposites such as heat and cold, pain and pleasure, etc., they are all sakaranam. They are dependent on experiencer. Okay? Sakaranam, they are dependent on a given cause. Then, those pramanaihi nirupyamanam, they are existence of the pairs of opposites are dependent or established by the pramanam. Established by given means of knowledge. And they are dependent. They don't have independent existence. Okay? All the sita ushna, all pairs of opposites are experiences. Understand now? All these experiences are dependent on given means of knowledge. Means of knowledge. Means of experience. Therefore, they are sakaranam. And they don't have independent existence. Without being established, proved through a given means of knowledge, they are non-existent. Therefore, they are mithya. So, what he says is, sita ushnadi pramanaihi nirupyamanam. Okay? The existence of the sita ushnadi established by given through different given pramanas. Therefore, they are dependent on the pramanas to be established, to be experienced. Therefore, they are not, they do not exist by themselves. Therefore, they are not sat. Na sat bhavati, that na should, na, why? Because he begins that na, beginning the sentence with the na, no, because they depend on the na, the sense organs to be established, therefore they are not sat, na sat bhavati, the na should go with sat here, na sat bhavati. First he said, shitoshnadeha are asat, then he says they are not sat. Okay, then what are they? The mithya. Okay, first he says mithya. Vikaraha, vikarohi saha, vikarascha, vyabhicharati. What he says is, sita ushnadi, okay, vikaraha hi saha, all, any experience is subject to change. What is vikaraha? Vyabhicharati. Vyabhicharati means that which keeps on changing, keeps on moving, keeps on, you know, modifying, is vyabhicharati. Yatha, ghatadi, samsthanam, chakshusha, nirupyamanam, mridvyatirekena, anupalabdhehe, asat, tatha, sarvaha vikaraha, karana vyatirekena, anupalabdhehe, asan. So what he says? Yatha ghatadi samsthanam, chakshusha nirupyamanam, mridvyatirekena anupalabdhehe asat. Suppose, if you, the let me see. Let me see. Okay, be slow here. So what I'm saying, see, mrid vyatirekena, mrid means clay, soil, sand, okay, that different means, okay. Mrid is clay. And vyatirekena, without, okay, without the clay, the pot cannot exist. Therefore, we can never see the pot. Existence of pot is the rupyamanam, is being established. By what? through Chakshusha, I see the pot, therefore the pot is. Okay? I see the existence of pot established through my perception of seeing the pot. But I cannot see through my eyes the pot without the clay. Mrud vyatirekena ghata samsthanam cannot be, I cannot see, and I see only the pot without the clay. I cannot say. When I see the pot, I see, inseparably along with the pot, what I see is the clay. In fact, I see only the clay in the form of pot, clay as the pot. Therefore, the clay becomes what now? The clay becomes the sat with reference to pot, and the namarupa pot is mithya. So my perception is what now? My perception is satyam, and the pot, the whole perception is what? Anything which is the whole seen object becomes the mithya. Understand? Therefore, what he says, mridvyatirekena, yatha mridvyatirekena, karana mridvyatirekena anupalabdehe. Without the clay, the pot cannot, I cannot see the pot without the clay. Therefore, pot is asat. The namarupa, the name and form pot is mithya. Similarly, he says, tatha, sarvaha api vikaraha. All the objects, sarvaha vikaraha means all those objects subject, which are subject to change, karana vyatirekena anupalabdehe asan, without the cause, all these objects of perception, okay, which are subject to change, they're all asat. Why? Because they do not exist independent of the cause. Karana vyatirekena anupalabdhihi. Without the cause, they will not be existent. They won't be there. Okay? Anupalabdhihi means absence. If I remove the clay, the pot becomes absent there. Understand? That's what anupalabdhi. Karana vyatirekena anupalabdhihi means absence. Okay? Unavailability. That is the word, actual word. It becomes unavailable. The pot is available only when the clay is available. When the clay is removed, it becomes upalabdhi. Upalabdhi of the pot is when upalabdhi of the clay. The pot, the clay is anupalabdham bhavati, tada pot ghataha api anupalabdha bhavati. Why? Because clay mridvyatirekena, without the clay, the pot doesn't have independent existence. Therefore, that which becomes absence in the absence of the karanam is what? Asat. Mithya. Okay? That's what is asat. I think I have made it clear. I'm not fast.
Huh? Yeah. Very clear.
I think even deep sleep state, when you're fast asleep, I wake up on what is karna vyatirekena? Karna vyatirekena. Karyam asat bhavati. Any vikaraha asat, will say that. Okay. Janma pradhvamsabhyam. I think I should go word by word, I think. See, janma means birth. Pradhvamsaha means destruction, death. Okay? Coming into existence and after the destruction, if you had to say, pradhvam sabhyam prak urdhvam. Prak means before, urdhvam means afterwards. So before the birth and after the destruction, janmanaha prak, pradhvam sasya anantaram, pradhvam sasya urdhvam, to say that janma pradhvam sabhyam prak urdhvam. Okay, Sankara style. Okay. Janma pradhvam sabhyam. Prak urdhvam cha. Janmanaha prak. Before the birth. Pradhvam sasya anantaram urdhvam. After the destruction. Okay. Cha. Anupalabdehe karyasya. Any karyam, any effect is what? Okay, not available. So before the creation of an object, before the creation object is non-existent, understand? And after the destruction also object becomes non-existent. When I say object means the nama-rupa, the name and the form. Before the creation, the form wasn't there. And after the destruction also, the form will not be there. That form which has beginning, which has an end, which has a birth, which has a death, which has change, which undergoes change, has a name. Okay? That is called karyam, effect. Why? It doesn't exist. Karma vyatirekena doesn't exist independent of the without the cause. And that karyam is like what? Like ghata dehe, like the pot. Why? Because the before the creation of the pot, the clay was. When I say the pot existed before in the form of clay. The clay alone is in the form of available as the pot. The pot is destroyed, still the name, the form has gone. Therefore, the name also goes off along with the name, form. But what continues to exist is the clay. Clay exists in a different form. Clay was, clay is, clay will be. Before the creation of the pot and after the destruction of the pot, the clay continues to exist. Then with reference to pot, we say, clay is satyam, the namarupa pot is mithya. Okay? Janma pradvamsabhyam prak ananta udvamcha. Okay? Karya, say any karya means any effect, any object exists, no? Gata dehe, goi gata adhi, pot, etc. Pot stands for all the objects. Okay, the whole, reduce the whole jagat into pot. When you say pot means any karyam, pot stands for any effect. Any effect means what? Anything which is different on its cause for its existence. Understand? So, gata dehe, mrida adhikaranasya cha, tat karana vyatirekena, anupalabdhehe asatvam. So asatva means all the effects like the pot, okay, have beginning and have end and they are dependent on their given cause. Therefore, all the karyams enjoy only status of being the mithya. They only have mithyatvam, asatvam. All the cause, because karana vyatirekena, that mrud vyatirekena, like mrud vyatirekena, yatha ghataha na tishtati, tatha karana vyatirekena, nakimapi karyam tishtati swayam, by itself it does not exist. Therefore, all the karyani, all the effects are mithya, asat. Okay? That's what he says. In fact, the Okay, let me finish this and then let me tell you. Tad asatve sarva bhava prasangah iti chet. So, what we say here, our doubt comes. Our buddhi is not very subtle, you see. Oh, pot is gone. Okay, therefore the clay also is gone. Now we can say, pot is gone means the clay also, we can say everything is gone. Nothing is there now. If the pot is, because we don't see the clay, the pot is broken, we think nothing is there. That is our buddhi. Therefore, here what he wants to say is, no, that is not true. The pot is there, just the name has gone because the form is broken, the form has gone. The form alone has gone and the name, which means the given form, also disappears along with the form. But really speaking, the cause continues to exist in other form. The pot may not be there, but the broken small pot pieces continue to exist. Understand? Pot, the name has gone. Okay, it's a broken piece. Of the broken pieces are there. You can still say, because the form alone has gone. It doesn't become totally non-existent. See, the destruction of a given form should not be mistaken for the total non-existent, total destruction, total non-existence, absolute non-existence. Understand? It's very important. The absence of the given form, which with the given name, okay, does not, should not be mistaken for the absolute, total non-existence of things. Why it disappears? Because it is the nature of mithya. Why it has beginning, why it has end, why it undergoes changes, that is the nature of mithya. That's why mithya means, that's how mithya is. You can't expect mithya to be sat. If you expect it, then it is a problem. And we ask, why do you expect the mithya to be sat? Because if mithya becomes satyam, I'll be happy. You can be happy without even making the mithya to be satyam. Without having the mithya, without having converted the mithya into satyam, you can be happy. Why? Because we know the satyam, that itself is happiness. See, it's all, now why? Because buddhi thinks, no? Oh, absence always, the any karyam, please understand what he says in this paragraph is, any karyam is dependent on its karanam. Okay? So, karyam, which is dependent on the karanam, has beginning and has an end. It has, janma, it has pradhamsaha. And before the janma, it wasn't there. After the pradhamsaha, it will not be there. Well, okay? But so that mithya karyam, when it is destroyed, karyam is destroyed, karanam always continues to exist. Karanam doesn't, nothing happens to the karanam. There is no such thing called total annihilation, total destruction, the total non-existence of is such a thing is not there. Understand? That is what is said. Sarva abhava prasangaha iti chet na. Okay? There's no such thing called total non-existence. Sarvatra.
Sarvatra.
How do we say that? He's going to explain. Buddhidvaya.
Buddhidvaya.
Upalabdhehe.
Upalabdhehe.
Sadbuddhihi.
Sadbuddhihi.
Asadbuddhihi.
Asadbuddhihi.
Iti.
Iti.
Okay. It's a very important thing. Today my introduction itself was to come to this point. Okay, in every perception, whenever we perceive an object, a given object, any object, okay, when you perceive any of the objects, five sense objects, through any of the five senses, that object, when you say it's a perception of an object, implies what? The knowledge of that object, or cognition of the given object, and in that object always there are, you know, two cognition. Every cognition of a given object, there is always two cognitions. It means the cognition of two things, cognition of the cause and the cognition of the effect. Let us see first externally. So, cognition of the cause, when you cognize the effect, you also cognize the cause. Inseparably, along with the effect, what you cognize is the cause. So, the cognition of the cause is, you can say, is sadbuddhihi. Cognition of the effect is asadbuddhihi. Why? Because the effect is subject to change, the cause is not subject to change. With reference to clay pot, when you say, I perceive a pot here, okay, will you take something else? I perceive this table here. Now, in the perception of this table, this small thing here, we see two things. Now, there's a plastic, the cognition of plastic, this is a cognition of table. We see it both. What is table? Just the nama of a given form, nama of a given rupa. The form is cognized, so along with the, you see, the, which is such a name, and you also, what you cognize is the cause. Can you cognize only the form without the plastic? You cannot force. Understand? So suppose it is, I don't want it to break, broken, but I'm saying, now it is here, and before it was made, also it was, this plastic was there, And after it is broken also, the plastic will continue to be there. What will not be there is only this form. Understand? So what will not be there, the cognition for which, okay, the cognition of an object, the two things are cognized, the cognition for which the vastu, subject to change, is the asad buddhi. The cognition of the effect is asad buddhi. Cognition of the cause is what? Sad buddhi. In every cognition, there are two cognitions, okay? The cognition, both you have to see. When you see the wave, you cognize the wave, you perceive the wave, you perceive the ocean. When you perceive the ocean, you see two things there. Okay? The water is what? Water also is cognized, wave also is cognized. So cognition of the cause is sadbuddhihi, cognition of the wave is asadbuddhihi. Okay, or ocean is asadbuddhihi. This karana buddhihi, karya buddhihi. Cognition of cause is the karana buddhihi, cognition of effect is the, asadbuddhihi. Karana buddhihi and karya buddhihi, sadbuddhihi, asadbuddhihi. But now what we say, the whole jagat is nothing but world of objects. When you reduce the whole jagat as karyam, reduce every object which is external to the physical body as what? Karyam. Now reduce the physical body as a karyam.
Physical body is also, well...
Yeah, physical world. So everything is karya, everything is effect. The whole jagat is karya when you say, okay, whole jagat, just now we saw how chitti is sat. Mm-hmm. The whole jagat is karya. Understand? And physical body, senses, pranas, mind, every thought, the knowledge, experience, everything is what? Mithya, karya. Why? Why karya? Because effect. Why effect? Because they have the mithya. Why they are dependent on something else for its existence? Every experience, reduce the whole jagat as what? Reduce it to what? Karyam. First, experience. Okay, reduce the experience, the universe, all the objects of experience to experience. Understand? And experience, there is experience. When you cognize the experience, there is also cognition of the experiencer. Understand? In every experience, make the experience itself an object of experience. And when you cognize the experience, there is also experience of the cognizer. You can never imagine an experience, okay, without the experiencer. So cognition of experiencer is the sadbuddhi. Cognition of the experience is the asadbuddhi. Leave the experienced, okay? All the experienced can be reduced to the experience. Experience itself is experienced, okay? And the experiencer, can you ever imagine an experience without the experiencer? Like you can never imagine the wave ocean without the water. Similarly, you can never imagine experience without the experiencer. Therefore, in every experience, what you cannot invariably miss, okay, invariably, all the variable experiences, what is invariably present is the experiencer. The experiencer being invariably present in all the experiences, experiencer, cognition of the experiencer is the sadbuddhihi, cognition of the experience is asadbuddhihi. Experiences change, but the experiencer is the same. Dream state, waking experience goes. Dream experience is there. Dream experience goes. Deep experience is there. Deep experience goes. Again waking, but experiencer is the, like the, yet sopna, yet sopna jagara sushupta maveti nityam. Like a turiyaha, like the fourth person, witnessing all three such experience, without undergoing any change, invariably present in all the variable experiences is the experiencer. Okay? There's a cognition of experiencer. In every cognition of experience, the experience is the cognition of, okay? The cognition of experience is the asat buddhihi. Cognition of experiencer is the sadbuddhihi. Sadbuddhi vishayaha is the experiencer. Asadbuddhi vishaya is the experience. Why? Because experience is subject to change. Therefore, it's asat. Any experience asat. And experiencer being not subject to change, it is sat. Is it clear? So unless you make the experience an experiencer, it will not be very clear. It first, you always think of the clay, I said karnam, buddhi, karya, buddhi. Very gross. You have to reduce the thing to just have only experiencer and the experience. In every experience, what is, you know, what in all the variable experiences, what is, you know, in variable persons, the experiencer. Therefore, in cognizing every experience, okay, you also cognize the experiencer. Because we do not know, we never see the, we only see the ocean, never try to see the water. We always see the waves and the roaring and all the disturbances. We always forget to see the water. Whose vibhuti, whose grace and whose blessing is there as the wave and all the roaring. Similarly, all our experiences, we see only experience becomes very important for us. Because we don't see the experience at all. Understand? We cannot see. Although we need Upanishad to help us see. We need special glasses. Yeah? Understand now what is? Sadbuddhi Vishayaha is Chaitanyam, the experiencer. And Asadbuddhi Vishayaha, the object of, make it subject for some time, let us make the actual subject as an object, okay? The object of cognition, Sadbuddhi Vishaya, is the experiencer consciousness. The object of cognition of this asat buddhi vishaya is the experience which is subject to change. So the object of the sat buddhi vishaya, the consciousness being not subject to change, it is sat. Okay? And object of asat buddhi vishaya, the experience is subject to change. Therefore it is asat. You cannot make convert the asat into sat. Why? Because asat is nothing but the manifestation of sat. Asat buddhi vishaya is nothing but the manifestation of the sat buddhi vishaya. Is it clear? I don't care even if I'm slow here. Because things have to become very, very, very clear. If this becomes clear, what other words we can just go fast. I don't say we should be fast because this is where clarity lies. This was an important verse. Why is the important verse? Because the clarity. Because, see, managing our emotions, not being afflicted by our own emotions, the thoughts which arise in situations, when they come up, because we have no say over our own mind. We have no say over our own thoughts, which just come. There's a cause behind why these thoughts just manage surface in a given time, in a given situation, at a given time, why, no, a given days, why do they come? Because we have no say over it. It's not function in the realm of an order. So when they come, how to remain quiet? Okay? And this knowledge, this is the knowledge which will really help us. Now, I thought only this should lead us to the understanding of Ishvara, Bhagavan as an order. Only then the real unafflictedness is possible. So without this, that order cannot be really appreciated. That is why we need to know this. Is it clear now? Sadbuddhi Vishayaha. What Sadbuddhihi and what Asadbuddhihi? Understand? So now we are going to see the experiences. Every experience is karyam. Experiencer is the karanam. experience is as good as the karanam, experience is as good as the karyam, and the karyam is mithya, therefore it is subject to change, it has beginning, it has end, it is subject to change, that is the nature, that is the mithya. But whereas the sadbuddhi vishaya, the experiencer, is sat, has no beginning, no end, no change, it's always there. It's not subject to change. Therefore, what he says is, in all the perception, when the perceptions of objects are different, perceptions are different, different perceptions of different objects, different experiences may be there, understand? Experience may be different and they change, but in all the experiences, one thing which is there as an experiencer is what? Invariably present. Okay? That is what is sat. Sataha abhavaha na vidyate. Asataha bhavaha na vidyate. Asat mithya, experience has no independent existence. Sat has like no non-existence. It means it never becomes non-existent, never becomes absent, because in all the variable experiences, invariably it is present. Therefore, what does he say? Why this answer is given here? Sarva abhava prasangaha iti chet na sarva abhava prasangaha. The total non-existence of everything is not at all. When experience is there, listen, when an experience is there, the experiencer is there, experiencing the experience. Understand? When no experience is there, still the experiencer is experiencing the absence of experience. Understand now? The experiencer is always there. That is what he says. Sarva bhava prasangaha na. Is it clear? This is what is important here. Why sarva, we say when the pot is gone, oh, gone, there's nothing is there. We can never say nothing is there. Okay? Something is there, but nothing is there. Nothing is there means always experiencer is. Whether the object of experience is there, the experienced is there, the experience is there, the experience is not there. The experiencer is always there, experiencing the presence and the absence of experiences. Okay, sarvatra. Sarvatra means in all experiences. Okay, sarvatra. Buddhidvaya. Upalabdhehe. Always, there are two cognitions available. What are the two cognitions? Sat buddhihi. Asat buddhihi. Iti. He is explaining what is sadbuddhi and what is asadbuddhi. I have explained it, but still we'll read it. Yad vishaya buddhihi na vyabhicharati tat sat. Okay. See, yad vishaya buddhihi na vyabhicharati means the cognition of which does not change at all. That cognition is, okay, sadbuddhihi. Okay, the cognition of, for which the object is not subject to change. Object does not, the cognition of, okay, an object which does not change at all, that cognition is called sadbuddhihi. The cognition of which, okay, the cognition of an object which keeps on changing is called what? Asad buddhihi. So in suppose when you say the cognition of experiencer and the cognition of experience, in experiencing every cognition, what you cognize is the experiencer. The cognition of experiencer is always there in all the experiences.
So could you say, okay, the cognition of the experiencer is the existence of the cognition of the experience? Sat buddhi is the existence of asat buddhi?
Yeah, you listen. So, what I say here? No, you try to understand something. It's good. I know you've understood, but you try to do, you're not able to express this. Okay. So, what I'm saying here? So, the buddhi, vishaya buddhi, so the cognition can never change. See, for example, I give you, now the light is here. In the presence of light, all the opaque objects come to light means, in cognizing the illumined object, what you cognize invariably is the cognition of the light. Okay? So you cannot miss the cognition of light continues to be there in all the cognitions of all the illumined objects. Understand? The object changes. Suppose I change the chair, the cognition of light is there, and the cognition of light doesn't change in cognizing other object, another object, another object. Why? Because, in fact, it is the illuminator is the, you know, in illumined object is always seen along with the illumining light. Similarly, the cognition of the sadbuddhi vishaya, when you say, the yadvishaya buddhihi na vyabhicharati. So the cognition of an object which does not undergo change, that means that cognition of the experience is always there. Okay? Cognition of experience, in all the cognition of all the experiences, the cognition of experience is always there. You cannot miss it. But we just be revealed by the Shastra. We did not know that before. Understand? Is it clear now? I think I have made it clear here. I do not know whether I have made it clear. I am asking you, have I made it clear? Yad vishaya buddhi na vyabhicharati tat sat. Okay. Yad vishaya vyabhicharati tat asat. So, yad vishaya buddhi vyabhicharati. Okay, the cognition of an object is subject to change, which changes, the cognition also changes. Understand? Cognition also changes. Why? Because the object of the cognition is changing. And that cognition is called asat buddhihi. See, the cognition of experience always changes. Why? Because the experiences change. The cognition of experiencer will not change at all because the experiencer does not change. Is it clear? Okay. This we need again little more thinking. You've understood, I am sure you've understood it. What you have understood, quietly, slowly you have to think and see. Okay? That is what is sort of nidhyasana. A sort of mananam. Think and see. It will become very clear. Iti sat asat vibhage sadasat vibhage buddhi tantre sthite sarvatra dve buddhi sarvaihi upalabhyete. Okay, always in every cognition these two cognitions are available. Okay, in every cognition, there are cognition, okay, two cognitions, two things are cognized, are two cognitions of sat and asat, tat vishyam and asat vishyam. Samanadhikarane na neelotpalavate neela utpalavate. Suppose, utpalam means lily, a water lily. And neelam utpalam, when you say a blue lily. You had my example, you see, very traditional example. Neela utpalam, blue lily. When you say blue lily, the neelam is an adjective and utpalam is a noun. And they have samana adhikaranam. The locus is the same. The utpalam, the flower. The noun itself, the substantive itself becomes adjective, a locus for the adjective. They don't exist two different places. Samana adhikaranam bhavati. Always viseshyasya, viseshanasya cha adhikaranam samanam bhavati. Okay, adjective and the noun, you know, have the same locus. Like that, can we say, when you say, on all our many cognitions are there, suppose pot is, you know, pot is, light is, sound is, the color is, when you say all these things, and is, when you say, in all of them, what is common is the easiness. Can you say it's an adjective? Which is an adjective, which is a noun? Here comes the doubt. It is not. So, again we go back to clay pot. Suppose, the clay is, without being a pot, the clay can exist. And in the form of clay also, the pot also the clay exists. The pot is broken also the clay exists means. So the clay itself is what? Actually, the clay, in fact, it's not dependent on the form. The form is very much dependent on the clay, the karanam. Therefore, karanam karyasya, no? Karyam na, it is not dependent on the karyam, the karm is dependent on the karanam when you say. Therefore, we can very much say, the adjective is always dependent on the noun. Noun is not dependent on the adjective. Therefore, we can say here, the karanam is the noun. Any karyam, we can say, is an attribute. Attribute is as good as an adjective. Therefore, Swamiji always says, no, clay pot, we shouldn't say, potty clay, we should say. No, chainy gold, we should say. Swamiji used to say this, he used to tease this, okay. Not golden chain, okay? Chainy gold, because chain is a nama, is an attribute. Attribute of the which the gold has taken. In fact, how many say you should say that? Like that. What is the now? What is the visheshanam? What is the visheshanam here? Understand? Therefore, this cause becomes the noun. In fact, any effect, the namarupa, the name and form, the mithya namarupa becomes then is as well as an adjective, the attribute. Attributes depend on the visheshanam. So, when you say, suppose existence is the noun, in fact, when you say exist, pot exists means existence, okay? Pot existence, when you say pot is, light is, sound is, all this is, when you say, it means existence, pot existence, clay existence, or sound existence, light existence, color existence, fragrance existence, no? The existence, in all of them, existence is the common thing, okay, the attributes are different, so these attributes are subject to change, the existence is not subject to change, existence is one and the same, the existence is in fact the easiness, okay, the existence is easiness, easiness is existence, so existence we say, is in fact the noun which has undergo any change. And all the attributes are subject to change. So in fact, we can say this, when you say pot is, or you know, pot is, car is, bus is, road is, people are, when you say all these things, all of them, when you say pot is, pot consciousness is, pot cognition is, pot knowledge is, pot experience is. When you say, no, bus is, bus experience is, bus knowledge is, bus consciousness is. When you say, sound is, sound consciousness is, fragrance consciousness is. In all of them, what is invariably present is what? The consciousness. Okay? And all other objects are subject to change. But one thing which is the same, that is sadbuddhi vishaya, the easiness, the existence, called sadbuddhi vishaya, and other objects, asadbuddhi vishaya. San ghataha, san pataha, san hasti, iti. So the sun. In fact, Shatru Anta Pratyaya of the Shatru Anta Shabda of the Asti, no? Asti, like gacchati, gacchan, patati, patan, likhati, likhan, pashyati, pashyan. No? Like that, asti means what? Sun, the being, the existent. Sun gataha, when you say sun gataha means gataha asti. When gat pot is, or existent pot, sun pataha, no, cloth is, sun hasti, the elephant is, etc. Evam, sarvatra. So in everything, what the two cognitions, the easiness is the sadbuddhi vishaya and the, okay, sadbuddhi vishaya. Is it clear now? The visesham bhavati. We say, then all these other objects are about, they are like the attributes, they are asadbuddhi vishayaha. We can say now, gataha, pataha, hasti, etc. are asadbuddhi vishayaha. The sun is the sadbuddhi vishayaha. This easiness does not change at all. Okay, something is when you say, or something is not also, you can say the ease is always there. The easiness never disappears. There is no time the easiness disappears. That which is, that which alone is always as you, I, he, she, it, that, those, these, as everything, as all that is there is. Okay? The Sat, Atma, the Satyam, that is always there. That is the easiness means existence. There's something is, okay? That something doesn't, not like, doesn't stay by itself. When you say there is, always as you said, you have to say something with the is. In fact, that which is there as the easiness. When you say something is, that implies the existence. What is that existence? Consciousness. Tayoho, buddhyoho, ghatadi buddhihi, vyabhicharati. So, of these two buddhis, the sun gataha, sun pataha, sun buddhi, all these things. When you say pot is, clay is, the bus is, and all these different, he has given some examples, pataha, sun gataha, sun hasti, in all of them, ghatadi vishna, ghatadeha, means all these attributes, the objects, are all, the cognition of these objects are subject to change. But the cognition of these attributes subject to change, but the cognition of easiness is not subject to change. So, ghatadi buddhi vishayaha asan. Okay, tayoho buddhyoho, ghatadi buddhihi vyabhicharati. The cognition of objects such as pot, no, changes, undergoes changes. Vyabhicharati means keeps on changing. Tathacha darshitam, it has been shown how it is subject to change. I have shown also. Natu sadbuddhihi. Whereas gatadi buddhihi vivicharati, natu sadbuddhihi. But sadbuddhihi, the cognition of easiness does not undergo change. The cognition of easiness does not change, but the cognition of objects, no, changes. Which cognition changes, which cognition does not change. Okay? Ka buddhihi na vyabhicharati. Ka buddhihi vyabhicharati, that you have to remember. Why is the ka? Because buddhi is a feminine gender word. Okay, you can't say kim, okay? Kim, you know what? Why is it buddhihi is a feminine gender word? Okay, ka buddhihi vyabhicharati, which buddhi undergoes change? Okay, ka buddhihi na vyabhicharati, asad buddhihi vyabhicharati, sad buddhihi na vyabhicharati. Kimartam na vyabhicharati? Because gatadi, the cognition of for which the objects are changing, therefore buddhi also changes. The cognition of object which does not undergo change is what? Easiness, existence. Therefore, it is asadbuddhi. I tell you, the Shankaracharya, those days, imagine, to think very clearly. And it's a bright bhasham like this. Just a bow and remain quiet. Natu sadbuddhihi. See, he is very brief. Sadbuddhihi natu means what? Na vibhicharati. You have to always apply words. He has always said asadbuddhihi vibhicharati. Natu sadbuddhihi. Again, he doesn't want to say na sadbuddhihi na vibhicharati na like me. Doesn't use extra words. Natu sadbuddhihi means it understood. Sadbuddhihi na vibhicharati. See, I tell you, when you want to talk about facts, you should be very, very brief. No, economy is very important in terms of words. We shouldn't be really using too many words. Too many adjectives, too much of talking, too many words will confuse, create vagueness. Because when the aim is to remove the vagueness, removal of vagueness, use less words, adequate, apt, important, simple words, and see the vastu is revealed. Anyway, tasmad ghatadi buddhi vishyah asan. So ghatadi buddhi vishyah, therefore the ghatadi buddhi, the objects of cognitions of objects such as pot, so asat mithya. Why? Vyabhicharat, due to its nature of changing. Asa buddhi have to change, he repeats it. Natu sad buddhi vishayah avyabhicharat. Okay. Two things have become very clear today. Sad buddhi vishayah, please listen. Sad buddhi vishayah na vyabhicharati. Say after me. Buddhi vishayah na vyabhicharati. Yataha. Okay. Sadbuddhi vishayah.
Sadbuddhi vishayah.
Na vyabhicharati.
Na vyabhicharati.
Asadbuddhi vishayah.
Asadbuddhi vishayah.
Vyabhicharati.
Vyabhicharati.
They had to remember that, okay? Sadbuddhi vishayaha, the object of cognition of sat is not subject to change because atma, the experiencer, is the sadbuddhi vishayaha. Asadbuddhi vishayaha vyabhicharati because the cognition of asat is the experience. Forget about the experienced. Is it okay? You have become very, very clear today. Sadbuddhi vishayaha na vyabhicharati, asadbuddhi vishayaha vyabhicharati. Asat is subject to vyabhichara, asat is subject to vyabhichara. That's all. See, the sadbuddhi, asadbuddhi only has become very clear. Other things are very simple. Some two small arguments, he just knocks off like this. If this is, it becomes very clear how he knocks off other things, arguments, is nothing. Very, very simple. See, the objections, raising objections, and not negative objections, answering objections, are all just to strengthen the clarity you have. With a very important tradition, what happens? Always, we may have doubts. What happened in the class, we always sit and listen. Quietly we listen. Because the teacher knows what sort of doubts will come. Because it's systematically, see, what should be said first should be said first. What should be said next following that should be said next. So that then step by step when you say, the things become slowly clear. That is why we are very quiet, we have to listen. When the class is over, and whatever the questions should be, the questions regarding what has been said in the class should be asked, so that the doubts will be clear. That is why we never talk anything away from outside of what is taught in the class. Because unnecessary confusions will be there. The doubts will be there. But only we have any doubts regarding what is taught in the class, if it comes, then we can clear. Then this will slowly take care of, many other vagueness resolve with themselves. That is the thing. Mm. And if one start answering, then I'll go away from this, and then I'll be very slow. All day I'm very, very slow. Don't you think so?
In fact, the question I asked, I had in mind, was answered by the Bhashya as you went on to the next thing you went on to. Answer the question.
You anyway. Got it. Gone.
Gone.
See, that is where I said to myself. This is the thing.
That's why we have to be patient and listen.
Yeah. No, what you say, that's why in the Sampradaya, that is why we never become discussion. Any discussion amidst students is not recommended in Shastra class. Because what do you already know? How can you discuss about things which you do not know? First listen. Shravanam, 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 Paunapunyana Shravanam, Shravanadanantarameva, Mananam, Mananes, no, the Sarve Samshyaha Vinashtaha Bhavanti. Now, all the doubts should resolve in Mahanam, because what can you discuss? It's not something, discussion regarding something, anything within the worldly things you can discuss about. In fact, the discussing means different views can be discussed. And here nobody's viewpoint is accepted, because all the standpoints are knocked off here. You have to see from Shastra's standpoint, where Shastra stands and sees. We don't even know where the Shastra stands. Shastra helps us to stand in these points and then makes us see. From our standpoint, how can our views are all different? And we have different views, and then all of us put our different views, and then we discuss about the views. I try to give my view to your view, you try to give your view to me, and then when your view is not acceptable for my reasoning, my perception. Understand, from my standpoint, I cannot see your view.
Jalpa.
Oh. And it's all, and honestly, we'll be, again the ahankara becomes bloated, whereas in Shastra's standpoint, ahankara, oh my God, just goes. This thing. I'm very pleased. I'm sorry. So I answered your question, haven't I?
Yeah, you answered it. It was answered immediately after. You told me not to continue with it. Then, about a minute later, the question I had was answered by the Bhashya.
Okay. Yeah. See, I know, Sadbuddhi Vishaya, what happens, always it's easy to say, the example is very easy always, when you give different examples. And the Chit being the Sat being the Chit should become very clear. Only then things work.
But that's what you were saying, isn't it? That's,
yeah. No, first that has
that's
to be...
That's what the Vash is about, isn't it?
Yeah, no, only then... Yeah. You can, see, you are supposed to have so much of understanding before coming to Bhagavad Gita class. See, Bhagavad Gita... So, study Gita means what? Not simply reading the verse and going away. Lot of understanding must have been already there. That is why what we do here, because I do simultaneously everything here, it takes long time. Doesn't matter. And there are words which you can go fast. I'm really pleased today Akhilina ji is here. And David ji, I'm very, very pleased you are here today.
Yeah, I'm really pleased. And I'm really pleased with what you said now about the system of listening.
Yeah. See, I appreciate this. The inquisitive mind appreciate this. It's nice. If I start answering, I would have given the same answer without reading the Bhashyam or something. I've tried my best to satisfy you.